Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read these verses, Matthew 1, starting at verse 18. I'm going to read these verses. We're going to pray, and I don't want to waste your time. I believe with all my heart that every time I stand behind a desk or a pulpit or stand up or sit down for that matter to preach, I believe with all my heart it is eternally significant. If I didn't believe it, I'd quit and do something else. I love preaching, but I love it only because God loves it. It's not inherently smart or intelligent or anything else. The Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching, but it is chosen by God, and I'm privileged to do it. And I believe with all my heart I don't want to waste your time. I'm a little worried that today the message that I have prepared could waste somebody's time. And I want to tell you that ahead of time, that I'm aware of that, but I believe it's what God would have me share, and I'm going to share it. And I want you to look for something you can get out of it, even if it doesn't apply to you. And I think it will apply to most, but I'm a little worried about that today. Matthew 1, 18 through 25, I'm just going to read it straight through pretty fast, and then we'll pray and we'll get it right into the message. The Bible says this: Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, or translated is, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of Jesus. Thank you so much for the song we just heard about Jesus. Thank you for the songs we sang about Jesus. Thank you for the greatest gift that's ever been given, the unspeakable gift of a Savior for the world given through Mary and through Joseph. Thank you for this example they give us today. I pray you help us to learn from it. We love you. We need you. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I'd like to give a message titled Christmas Dating. Another title we could give is Getting Ready for Christmas. And I think that we're going to talk about Joseph and Mary. And I want to point out something first before we get into the message. And that is this: Joseph and Mary were not married yet in this story. And therefore, they very much directly relate to those of you in this room who are not married yet. I do think they have some truths they can teach those who are married like me as well. And I believe everything we'll say today will apply to the married students, will apply to the staff, of course. But I think especially this is one of the few times in the Bible where you see an example of a dating couple in our typical context, where they were espoused to be married, but very much not physically together, not touching each other, not being alone together, that type of thing. But they were very much planning to get married, like many of us in this room hopefully are. But what qualities, the question I'm asking and want to answer this morning is, what qualities do they have that are worth somebody who's not dating or is dating, both, that are worth us looking at and saying, I got to be like that. If I'm going to be ready for a Christmas-type miracle to come to me like it did for them, I want to be like this. And yeah, that would be a miracle for some of you. We all want things to happen in our lives. Many of us, all kidding aside, many of us want to be dating or are dating and want to eventually get married or both, but we're not all ready for the things we want. And some of you, if I walked up to you individually and told you you weren't ready to date, you'd say, you wouldn't listen to me. So I'm going to try to say it publicly, all right, and tell you why you're not ready. And but I will say this, I'm so thankful. I'm supposed to say this later in the message, but let me say this now. The best thing I ever did in my life, apart from getting saved, that prepared me for marriage was staying at college longer than just 4 years. I graduated in 4 years. Nobody knew my name for a good reason. It was because I didn't talk to anybody. I was scared of all the girls and all the guys too. And we have stories to tell about that. I had plenty. We had demerits in those days. I had plenty of demerits, lots of stuff. You can check in my records. Somebody's got my records unless they burned down or something. But I was not the example student. But I will say this. One of the best things I ever did is I said, I'm not ready, but it's okay. I can keep getting ready. And of course, as a master's student at Howells Innocent College, my wife was who's who. I've heard this joke before, but it's true for me. She literally was who's who, and I was who's that, as they often say. But I'm so glad I waited. And as a master's student, I began to date my wife, and there's a lot of miracle stories there. I may tell one or two real quick today, but a lot of miracle stories there. But we sometimes want things for which we're not ready. I think you all would agree with that. Many of us want to be dating or engaged or married, etc., the next step. But how do I know if I'm ready? Many of us, we can't control the next step. And to be perfectly honest, I like it this way, but many, especially the ladies, you know, I can't control if that guy is ever going to get on the ball and figure out that he should like me. My wife lived like that for a couple of years, seriously. My wife literally lived like that for 2 years. And you can ask her the story, but you know, that's serious, really. But how do you know if you're yourself ready? Is there a formula? And I think today we'll look at a formula real quick. We're going to spell out a word because I think you're college students and you don't remember anything I say. So at least if you write it down, you can see that it starts with the right letters or whatever. In the Bible, I believe the story of Joseph and Mary is very unique and very instructive. The Christmas story is fascinating, but especially the story of this one dating couple who gives us a peek into some necessary qualities that you and I must bring into a relationship. And by the way, if you're already in a relationship, you must have in the relationship. If you're not dating today, I want to tell you how to get ready. If you're still not dating today, I want to tell you how to stay ready. If you're thinking about dating, I want you to know how you know she's ready or how you know he's ready to date you. If you're already dating or maybe you're far along, I want you to know how to get ready for the next step. So that without any further ado, are you ready for what God may want to give you? Are you ready for the news about Jesus or the news about a gift God wants to give you? How do I know I'm ready? I propose to you that Joseph and Mary can let us know whether or not we're ready. They had some qualities before Jesus, before they got married, that we must follow as well before we get married. I'd like to give you 5 ways that you can tell if you're ready. And these spell a word. It spells the word ready, okay? So just so you know ahead of time, I'm not going to remember to say that later. All right, it spells the word ready. So number one, you're not ready unless you're right. I have five things underlined in my Bible here in this passage. I want you to look back at verse 19. The Bible says this. Then Joseph, her husband, I have the word just underlined. Just underlined. You know, a lot of times we talk about being ready for the next step God has for us, but we're not ready for the step we're on. A lot of times, you know, the Bible talks a lot about righteousness. The Bible says it like this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let me ask you a simple question, young man. Could anybody in your life describe you as somebody who seeks God's righteousness? Not who generally follows the rules, who generally does good stuff, but are you a seeker of righteousness? Do you want to do the fair thing? Do you want to do the just thing? Do you want to do the right thing? Do you have any bone in your body that says, all I want is to do the right thing here? All I want is exactly what God wants. I want to do things the right way. I want to be a just person. I wonder if anybody in this room would say, you know what, I need to work on that. I want to be a just person. In Luke 1:27, the Bible describes Mary as a virgin. And there's a lot of spiritual application. There's a lot of practical application about these two. The Bible says before they came together. Very much they were pure. This is very much included in this idea of being just, being right. Are you pure? Let me ask you, are you pure in your thoughts? Are you pure in your actions? Are you pure in your habits? If you can't do right over the Christmas break by yourself, how will you do right with your girlfriend? How will you do right if you can't do right now? How will you do right when God gives you more opportunities to do right? How will you do right in the future with the thing you want if you can't do right now without it? There's so much there. We got to keep going. And I apologize. Normally, I yell a lot when I preach, and I feel like I don't know if I'm sick. I know I'm sick, but I don't know. I feel like hopefully you're still listening. All right. I only know people who listen if I yell loud enough they can't help but listen, right? All right. Somebody who struggles with his eyes without a wife will struggle with his eyes with a wife. I don't want to say anything negative about anybody outside of this room, but you know, we have the phrase dirty old man. You know what causes a dirty old man? A dirty young man. It doesn't go away. Somebody who struggles with his habits, and her, you can put her in any of these too. Somebody who struggles with his habits without a girlfriend will struggle with one. Somebody who struggles with his temperance, with his self-control, with his thoughts, with his obedience of his leaders, with his mouth, with his ears, with his attitude, with his temper, he will struggle with a girlfriend. He will struggle with a wife. He will struggle in the next stage. Hey, young man. Hey, young lady. You got to get your attitude, your actions, your righteousness under control. You got to say, hey, I'm all out for God. I'm willing to do what he wants, and I only want to do what he wants. And I'm all about being pure. I'm all about being just. I'm all about being right. Oh, that we would have that attitude. Hey, are you ready? I don't know. Are you right? Number two, I have this word underlined. It says this, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. I have that word privily underlined. And partly to make it spell, but partly because I think I want you to understand what's going on here. I wrote this word down which starts with an E. It says, you're not ready unless you're easygoing. I want to explain myself and explain how this fits. But I want to first quote a couple pastor lines, Pastor Wilkerson lines. Is strife your life, right? Are you a drama mama? Those are both from Pastor, in case you don't know. You know, God puts a high priority on his servants being peacemakers. Hey, you know, in your dorm room, in your relationships you have already, is everything you do all about fixing somebody else's problem or identifying that there's a problem or talking about a problem or talking about how to fix a problem or talking about how to make a problem bigger? You know, God highlights peacemakers. And I would say this, your job as a peacemaker is to take big problems and make them small. Every day of a Christian's life, you ought to take something that is big and make it smaller. Some problem, some issue, some big, everybody's upset about this, everybody's talking about this, everybody's crying about this, everybody's complaining about this, everybody's shouting about this on the radio or on the TV or whatever, and I can take this big thing and I can say, you know, it's not a big deal in eternity, with eternity in view, and in the significance of everything that's going to happen in your life, that's not a big deal. Calm down, make it a private matter. I wonder how many of you in here, you make your roommate issue a public matter, and why would a guy want to date you? You're going to make your issue with him a big matter. Take the big things that you think are big and make them small. Learn how to make the seemingly big things, the relationship issues, the right here, right now. Your food was too hot. It was too cold. This was an issue. This person treated you wrong. Take those big things and make them small. And on the other hand, we're big as Christians. We ought to be big on taking the small things and making them big. Mary said, and by the way, all these things that I'm talking about, Joseph, Mary did them all too. I might not get to all of them, but trust me, Mary did all these things too. They apply to men and women both. But Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And Mary did not say, my soul doth magnify the fact that I had to give birth in a stinking stable. Mary did not say, my soul doth magnify the fact that God made me look like a prostitute or something and I couldn't defend myself. Mary did not magnify the fact that she lived in poverty and stress and pressure the whole 9 months she was expecting. She said, my soul does one thing and magnifies what other people think is small. The Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to magnify him and say, yes, I want to make a small thing and make it big. And that's good stuff. I don't know how it fits in the message, but it's good. You're not ready unless you're easygoing. Take big problems and make them small. Take small things and make them big. Luke 1:46 talks about that, but we'll go on. That's I magnify my soul does magnify the Lord. I magnify my office, Paul said. We don't have time to talk about that. Let's go to number three. You're not ready, number one, unless you're right. Number two, you're not ready unless you're easygoing. Number three, I'm looking back at verse 20 in Matthew. And I will reference Luke 1 a few times, but you can stay in Matthew, by the way. Verse 20, the Bible says, but while he thought, I have the word thought underlined as point three. And it makes me think about this. Well, let me first tell what Joseph did, and then I'll give you the word. But think about what happened here. Joseph got big, earth-shattering news that the girl he was planning to marry had a problem he could have trusted her, he could have believed her, but it was, at best, it was really, really, really awkward. At worst, it was really, really bad. The Bible just tells us, as far as what he knew, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, even if you know that's a good thing from the Holy Ghost perspective, that's never happened before, and you don't know how to deal with that, and you know you need to get away from the situation. And I believe Joseph was perfectly right in saying, even if he believed Mary completely, I think he was perfectly right in saying, I need to get away. And that's why he was just, and he was going to make her a private separation, not a public separation. And there's a lot of stuff there. But here's what happened. The Bible is very clear to point out, he did not come to an immediate decision. There are people in this room today that need to hear me very carefully, hear God very carefully. You might have the best intentions. You might have the best idea for what decision you need to make, but there is never a time where you will regret waiting to make a decision. I have lots of stories. I'll just tell one real quick. When I was in China, I was convinced that God wanted me to come back to America, to this place, to do exactly what I'm doing now. And I became convinced through a series of miracles. But I had told God many years ago, I had told God, I believe you're big enough to make all of my leaders agree. And to make the story short, I'll just tell you this part of the story, and this is what happened. I was convinced I was supposed to come back here. I knew that that's what God wanted. And there was a day where I had to say to God, okay, I'm going to trust you. Let all my leaders agree. And one of my leaders, he wanted me in China, and I knew that. And that leader wanted me in China because I worked for him, and I allowed his school to keep in operation because I was one of the foreign teachers. And Brother TJ, you know about this. Emerald, you know about this. But, you know, the foreign teachers who like, that's what they advertise. That's why they keep the school open. I had to be there. And so I went to him and I said, hey, I think I'm supposed to go to America. What do you think? And he said, no, I think you should stay in China. And I struggled with that. And the decision I had made years ago came back. And finally, one day on January 16th, 2020, I went to God that morning. I said, God, you can still make all my leaders agree. I'm going to stop thinking about going to America. Obviously, it's not what you want. And obviously, you can still make my leaders agree. And you know what happened on January 16th? The whole Chinese government shut down our school. And long story short, the boss gave me a hug that day and he said, I guess God wanted you in America. And that's the type of thing God can do. And when you think on these things, instead of coming to a decision that you think is so great, you think is so wonderful, definitely I got to get rid of Mary, God might want to use your patience to show you something else. There's somebody in here who's thinking about leaving, and I'm not talking to the person who... There's a person I talked to Sunday about this. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else, okay? So ignore me for a second. I'm not talking to the guy who talked to me on Sunday. All right. That being said, but there's a person, other people in here, I'm sure, who are thinking about leaving here. While you think on these things, could it be possible that God would want to give you something else other than what you're thinking? Just a thought. And the person I talked to Sunday, you can listen to, I guess. But anyways, but number three, you're not ready unless you're adjustable. Adjustable. We joke about dating. We talk about guys having these lists. But I have never found one time where a guy actually has a list that his list actually was what he should be looking for anyways. I remember talking while I was in college, and I was a master's student at this point. Actually, just a couple months away from dating. I didn't realize it at the time. But I was a master's student. And I talked to some guy about his list, and he was a fellow master's student. And we talked about his list, and I listened to his list, and I thought, and I'm not saying I was more spiritual than he was, but maybe a little bit. But I heard his list, and I thought, like, who cares? Who cares what color hair she has? And I still feel this way, by the way. And I have some embarrassing stories. Like, I didn't even know what color my wife's eyes were until we got married because I didn't pay attention. But anyways. But who cares? Who cares whether she does her nails? And who cares what color her hair is? Who cares how tall she is? Who cares who thinks she's cute or this or that or whatever? And I remember I heard his list and I wrote one thing down on my list. I said, I'm going to have a list. And I said, of all things, God, I went to God in the prayer closet, and I said, God, I don't know if I need a list, but he's got a list, and I want to say I have a list, so I'm going to write one thing down. I want a woman who knows God. And I'm glad to say I got my list, but most lists out there junk them. God can adapt what you think you need. And that guy you don't think is cute, he actually might be the guy you ought to date, you know, and it just, you know, you know that theoretically. I'm not trying to be silly. Seriously, like, It might be that. All right, be slow to make decisions. Be slow to make decisions. Luke 2:19 talks about Mary, and the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think that's a huge concept. Are you somebody that ever keeps anything inside that's not on the outside? I think that both Mary and Joseph had a lot of things in the inside, a deep well on the inside. The Bible describes wise people as being like that. A lot of things on the inside that weren't on the outside, or is everything in your life on the outside? I'm afraid some of us in this room, everything in our life is on the outside. We don't let any decision get filtered through time. I remember, this is a good story about my wife. She told it this week. I think it's okay for me to share it. She told it to her father, who is living with us right now, and She told how before she dated me, she had a lot of dates in college. She was very well known. She smiled and she made it easy for guys to ask her. And so she had made a decision early on that she would just say yes unless she couldn't say yes, you know. And so she had a lot of dates through college, and I haven't counted. I don't want to count, but all those guys are losers, and I don't at least in my book, amen. All right. So anyways, but she had a lot of dates. Seriously, she was very well known. She had a lot of dates in college, and I knew about her, and I was scared of her, as well I should be, and she was awesome. But she said one time as a I think it was a junior in college, I believe it would have been, she said to God, she said, okay, God, I'm tired of like all this yo-yoing. She said, God, how about this? How about make a deal? And she was trying to twist God's arm. She said, how about the next guy who asks me, that'll be the one. I'll just keep dating him. I'll keep saying yes to him. And she had said no eventually to a lot of guys, because obviously a lot of guys revealed their true colors, you know, eventually. But she said, okay, the next guy I'll say, and by the way, you can't trick God. And sometimes a fleece is good, but her story is kind of funny. She told God that, and that day she got asked by two guys. And she got back to her room for two different dates, but she said yes to both of them. And I don't know how this works, but so because she had a policy, I'm gonna say yes, but she also had a new policy, I'm gonna marry the next guy who asked me. And then she got back to her dorm room that night and she thought, God, I really can't remember who asked me first. So who am I supposed to marry? And she went on both of those dates over the next couple days. And this is a true story, I promise you it happened. She went on both those dates over the next couple days, and in those next few days, she felt like, okay, well, the only guy who was even worth considering is the guy who asked her again or whatever, you know, one of the guys asked her again, and she started dating him a few times, and she said, but God, I don't like this guy. I don't think he's that great of a guy, but I guess I'm willing to do what I told you I was going to do, you know, kind of thing. And then I came along. Long story. Okay. No. No. I won't tell you my part of the story. My part of the story is just dumb, but here's the point. Here's the point. Are you adaptable, or do you have your idea? And this is what's going to work. This is what's going to work. I'm so glad my wife did not marry the next guy that she dated. He's a great guy. He's a missionary today, but I got the best wife, and I'm glad I did. All right. Don't try to twist God's arms. He's big enough to lead you. He can use your leaders. He is way slower than you expect, but he's never late. God may go slower than you expect, but that's okay. All right, I need to give you number four, and I'm almost done. Number one, we said you're not ready unless you're right. Number two, we said you're not ready unless you're easygoing, calm, collected, cool. Number three, you're not ready unless you're adjustable. And number four, I want you to look at verse 24. Very simple concept. I have a fourth word underlined here. The Bible says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did. And the word simply is, you're not ready unless you're doing. If I was trying to spell a different word, I'd use the word obedient. What has God told you to do that you haven't done, and yet you say you think you're ready for God's next step? What is that thing that someday I'm going to do? I remember I sat in college chapel as a young man who was not sure if I was ready to date, and honestly had given that to God and said, God, I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever figure that stuff out. I'm so immature. I realize this about myself. So scared of people. And so I was so shy, so timid. And I never thought I'd preach like this or anywhere, anytime. And I know you hear a lot of preachers say it. You think we're all lying, but we're not. I promise you it's true. And anyways, I told God, I said, God, you got this whole dating thing. I'm not going to chase a girl. I don't know. I don't know who I need or if I need. I'm just not going to get married. Whatever you want to do. But that semester, somebody got up behind this the pulpit that was here, and he said this phrase that really grabbed a hold of my heart. It was maybe the first chapel of the year or something like that. He said, fall in love with God first. And I heard that, and I made a decision that day. I said, I'm gonna go extreme. And I'm so glad I did, by the way. And I had spent time in the woods out here and out here and lots of different places hidden on campus, and I had spent lots of time in the cleaner's closet up on Colston, and hours and hours there and other places, lots of time with God. But I decided that year I'm gonna really not just love God, but fall in love with God. And I kind of just made that decision, and I began to wake up super early in the morning, and not every day, because sometimes I couldn't, but I wake up super early in the morning and talk to God, and I made a decision I had two new students as my roommates that year, I believe, and I made a decision. I said, I'm going to read the Bible through in 3 months. And if you know, those of you who are college students, which is all of you, you know that that if you're working a job, which I was, and you're taking full classes, which I was, reading the Bible through in 3 months takes a lot of work. And I know, and I wasn't quite up to your dad, of course, who has similar stories in college, but a lot more Bible reading. But I had heard stuff like that, and I said, hey, I want to do something like that. I want to be extreme. And that semester, God did something in my heart that changed me. And I'm so thankful for that semester where I did get the Bible read through in a little more than 3 months. And I did get to talk to God and talk to God and talk to God. But I wonder if somebody here needs to say, you know what? Forget me stressing about putting on a little bit different color makeup tomorrow. What if I stress about falling in love with God? Forget me stressing about whether or not she goes to that class and I'm going to pass her in that hallway. What if I am doing right now what God wants? You know what Mary said here? Behold the handmaid of the Lord. My identity is a servant of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you could be that first, I think you might be ready to date. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Luke 1:38. Are you obedient? Is there something you should do that you haven't done now? I got to go on to number 5. We're almost done. You're not ready, number 5. Well, let's look at verse 25. This is the message right here. If you only get one point, this would be it. Verse 25, the Bible says this about Joseph, and knew her not. And the word I have underlined is the word till, T-I-L-L, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph and Mary both did not just put their life on hold, but they said, I'm going to be willing to wait until God does something else before I ever worry about the step I want to take. And that till, in Joseph's case, signified 9 months, right? Maybe more, maybe less, depending on how exactly the timing worked. But it signified the time until Jesus was born. There was a till, there was a waiting. The word I'm going to say here overlaps a couple other words in technical meaning, but I want you to remember this word. You're not ready unless you're yielded. Now, I realize if you're yielded, you're going to be obedient, you're going to be doing, you're going to be all these other things, but specifically, the angle I'm trying to go at here is this. How patient would God describe you? How yielded, how flexible to His timing would God describe you? Let me read a couple things. Are you patient? Are you stressed? Are you rushed? Verse 25 says what we said, and he knew her not till. But think about Luke 1:38. Mary says in response to the angel Gabriel, she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What if every single morning when I woke up, I said, God, I don't know your timing. I don't know what you want. I don't know how you want with my dating or with any other thing in my life. I don't know what you're going to bring in my life. I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know what you're going to do, but I know this. Today, I want to say, God, be it unto me according to thy word. If you got nothing for me today, if you got everything for me today, be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. Oh, that would be the heart cry of me and you and everyone in this room. And we would say, hey, I'm yielded. I'm yielded to your timing. I'm yielding to your emphasis. I'm yielding to your focus. I'm yielding to whatever you have for me. I'm yielded. Oh, that's a way to be ready. The other word that I really wanted to focus on here is the word content. How you doing? Are you happy with the pace and the place? I think I heard that from a pastor of mine that God has for you. The number one thing that makes you ready for God's next step is your being happy with your current step. There's a preacher you may have heard of. His name is Jack Hiles, and he wrote a book. And in that book, there was a chapter. And that chapter, some of you may have even read it. The chapter title has stuck with me throughout my life. And the chapter title was simply this: don't rush the washing machine. And the concept that's presented in that book is the concept I'm trying to say here, and that is this. When God's got you on the spin cycle, you can learn to enjoy the spin cycle. But don't try to get out of the spin cycle, or you won't be able to do the next rinse cycle the best way. And those of you who don't know anything about laundry, go learn. But the point is, you can be somebody who is patient with God's timing. I already told you the story Let me ask you a question. If God wanted you, let me ask an easy question first. If God wanted you to go to China, would you be willing? Don't answer out loud. But I think that might be easier for some of you to answer. Oh, yeah. Theoretically, if God wanted me to go to China, I'd be willing. I had to answer that question, and my answer was yes, and God did, and I'm so glad I went. But let me ask you a harder question. And I want you to answer it to yourself. Don't answer it to anybody else. If God wanted you to be single your whole life, would you be willing? I believe that most people I know that are happily married would have said yes to that question. Just something to think about. If God wanted it. Yes, some of them knew that God didn't want it. I understand. You can make excuses for your lack of faith all you want. But let me ask you the question again. If God wanted it, would you be willing? I think that's an important question to answer. God wants you to get ready before the next thing comes. I have a story and then I'll be done. There's a good friend of mine who told the story about his son. And to see if I can tell it. His son's name was Craig, and Craig was a three-year-old boy about to turn four. And Craig kept asking his dad for a pocket knife. And he would say, "Dad, can I have a pocket knife?" They would go past the store, I think, or something, and he would see it, or I don't think they had the internet back in those days, but whatever. They would see pocket knives, and Craig would say, "Dad, please give me a pocket knife. I want a pocket knife. And Craig begged, and his dad really wanted to give him one. He was like, wanted him to be a man's man. Yeah, he wants a knife. My little three-year-old son wants a knife. And so he wanted to give it to him. And mom was not so much on the same page, but we'll get back to that later. But eventually, for Craig's fourth birthday, dad got Craig a pocket knife. And dad got mom to sign off on it, and she was like, "Okay, whatever you want." And so dad gave Craig the pocket knife, and he gave it to him. And that morning of Craig's fourth birthday, Craig was the happiest little boy you ever did see, and dad went off to work. When dad got home from work that evening, he was met at the door with Craig with a little bit of a sad look on his face, his hands full of Band-Aids, every single finger, everywhere on his hands had Band-Aids all over. And Craig had the pocket knife in his hands, and he said, "Dad," he had been instructed by his mom was watching him, but he said, "Dad, could you hold it for me till I'm ready?" And when I think about that story of Craig, I think about a story that happened this week as well. I was talking to somebody who is in the middle of his second marriage failing. And without going into detail, and I don't want to make him look bad, he talked to me and my wife this week about all the blessing we had from going to Hiles Anderson College specifically. We were talking, telling him about some of our stories, some of the ones that I just told and other stories. And I was talking to him about not every detail of my story, just real quick. And he said, "I don't want to use the word jealous." Well, that's what he was thinking. He said, "I don't want to use the word jealous, but man, you had such a blessing to hear all that good wisdom before you dated." And I think about that, and I think some of us are trying to say, God, let me date. And we're getting ready to date and cut all our hands and mess it up and make a train wreck out of that dating and maybe even our lives in some cases. If we would just stop and say, "Am I ready? Am I ready to take that knife? Am I ready to take that thing like that little boy needed to learn?" I'm done. Just want to ask you a question. Are you willing to change some things in your life to get more ready? Some of you are dating, and I can't say, "Oh, you're not ready." You're obviously doing it, but I wonder if you're ready like God wants you to be. There's a lot more in this story, but I think Joseph and Mary teach us that we should be ready. We should be right. We should be easygoing. We should be adaptable. We should let God change our plans. We should be doing what God wants us, and we should be yielded, especially to His timing, content with His timing. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for loving us. I pray that you help me and the people in this room to be ready for what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.